Welcome back to the NASPA SLPKC podcast. We know it's been a couple weeks since you've heard from us last, but in full transparency, March is a bad month. It's a best month in student affairs. You get the NASPAs and the ACPAs and the travel and the spring breaks and all the joy in that too. But scheduling gets really challenging. So we are excited to be back. I'm thankful that you all have returned to hearing from us and over the moon about the conversation we get to have today, because selfishly we both just really, really love our topic today. So I'll let Melissa tell you a little bit more about what is coming.
Yeah, so on today's episode, we're meeting with Courtney Holder, Assistant Director for Leadership and Community Service Learning at the University of Maryland, Avani Rana, Director of Co-Curricular and Leadership Development at the College of New Jersey, and Cokie Thompson, Assistant Director of the Blackburn Institute at the University of Alabama. And all three of these fine folks are members of the Leadership Educators Institute Planning Committee for 2024. LEI is coming up in Philadelphia in December. And we are just thrilled that they're joining us to chat a little bit today about LEI, not just about the experience or the conference, but what it means to our field and why it's so valuable to folks at different stages and places in the world of leadership education. I'm thrilled that they're going to get to share a little bit about the intention behind the program, and why you all should be there, truthfully. I mean, everyone on our podcast community has been involved in LEI in some way, shape, or form. We've been attendees. We've been on the planning committee ourselves. We've been advocating for it. And as a partnership between ACPA, NASPA, and NCLP, it really is such a great example of what a collaboration between associations and entities can create in the best way.
Yeah, and you will likely throughout this whole podcast hear from all six of us, including our producer Derek, because yeah, we all serve in some capacity on the current LEI planning committee and some capacity in supporting this current conference. But again, also just fangirls of the conference from years of
100%.
attendance and presentations and learning and development and in full transparency, the way it shaped our careers. Like I think in many ways, all six of us on this call give some credit to LEI as being a space that is an important part of our, as we call it, the leadership educator origin story, right? Like some part of this conference was an affirmation, a community of practice, a space where we felt like our voices were heard and valued and represented in many ways. So I think we selfishly just wanted to geek out about LEI, but also really wanted you all to know the magic from the team that makes it happen. So we're excited to have these three with us and the six of us getting to share space and in a not planning call, right? This is fun, like not having to make decisions. We just get to be really excited about the conference. So we'll hope you all enjoy. We're back.
I'm so excited about this one.
Me too. I think especially after our LES conversation last semester, I think we were excited to bring another group to tell us about cool in-person experiences the
Absolutely.
folks can come to too.
So we have our wonderful guest here with us. If you wouldn't mind, friends, introduce yourselves. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. Hi everyone, my name is Avani Rana. I use she, her pronouns, and I currently work at the College of New Jersey as the Director of Co-Curricular and Leadership Development. And I'm a leadership educator because I kind of fell into it and started doing leadership development as an emerging leaders program my first year of college, and didn't realize that that was going to have such an impactful experience for me. And when I fell into student affairs and decided to do that, educate leadership just seemed to be the niche that I seem to create, and I've loved it ever since.
Go next. I'm Cokie Thompson. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm currently the assistant director of the Blackburn Institute at the University of Alabama, which is a leadership development and civic engagement program focused on the state of Alabama. And I feel like I went into leadership education on purpose, but then when I go back and think about it, I can't articulate to you what those decisions were. The program I work for now, I participated in as a graduate student, but I thought it was cool before then, and I applied for it in my student affairs master's program, kind of wanting to participate in it, but also wanting to sort of look at the seams on the back end and see how they ran it. And it worked out for me that my wildest dream of hoping to work there someday worked out.
Love that. Nice. And I'm Courtney Holder. I use she, her pronouns, and I serve as an assistant director in the Stamp Student Union for our Office of Leadership and Community Service Learning at the University of Maryland. I also get to work with and support the National Clearinghouse for Leadership Programs, NCLP. And when I think about my origin story in leadership education, I have to think back to my time in 4-H as a kid, actually, and the leadership development and civic engagement work that was just really invested in during that time. There's such a great focus on youth and young people being leaders in those programs and activities. And I continued that all the way through college, where actually, it's funny, Avani, that you mentioned an emerging leaders course your first year. I took an emerging leaders course my last year of college, and that really kind of helped me see the formalized leadership education opportunities, and then got to teach a couple leadership education classes during grad school, and knew that I wanted to keep doing that kind of work as I continued on in my profession.
That's awesome. I feel like there's a ton of us, like former camp kids, that are in this work. There's a whole podcast episode and probably research project in there somewhere about that, for sure.
Yeah.
For those of us who used to work those camps, because I worked like summer programs on leadership development when I was a student, right? So it was like that. And I was like, oh, I could do this for a living? Didn't know that
Totally.
I could.
Totally. Yep,
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, put that one in the parking lot, because we definitely need to talk about that at some
If
point.
some doc student is listening to this podcast and searching for a dissertation topic, you're
There you are.
welcome. We've
That's
presented it.
right.
Courtney brought up a good point that I want to dive into before we get to our first formal question. But LEI is a really unique conference that it sh is shared kind of partnership, collaboration, hence this wonderful committee between three kind of governing entities or associations or other things too. We forgot to ask you all to talk about which of those you call home and is contributing that way too. So maybe if you all can do that, because that'll probably frame some of our conversation too. So if we want to bounce back through the three of y'all, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I get to work with National Clearinghouse for Leadership Programs, and I'm excited to support that organization. It's not maybe a formal association, but it is a resource, a support, an organization that convenes and connects folks across the leadership education field. And we've been a part of LEI since the beginning.
I come from ACPA by way of CSI, which is the Commission for Student Involvement that covers lots of involvement things, activities, Greek life, student orgs, service, and leadership. But I have pretty much primarily been a leadership person in my time. And while I'm grateful for the breadth that that provides me, excited to be in the LEI space to talk about leadership specifically.
Yeah, and I was the past chair of the NASPA Student Leadership's Knowledge Community, and have continued in that activity and engaging with that knowledge community as kind of the LEI rep as I've stepped out of my role in that leadership role. But the KC does a really great job of, bringing together leadership educators within the NASPA community.
Awesome. And I know Melissa and I will cover some more as we go along too, but both of us having shared entities across multiple of those platforms to care about LEI too. But I guess it's a good transition to our first formal question, which listeners are probably listening now for several minutes and confused on what we're saying if they haven't attended or already Googled the answer. But the first question we have for y'all is, what is LEI? Why is it important for leadership educators in our community? And maybe what has it provided for you specifically in your life or career, especially because several of you have attended multiple times, been on planning committees. What is your journey with LEI look like too?
I'll start with a little bit of an overview of LEI. So LEI, Leadership Educators Institute, it's a wonderful professional development opportunity for folks of all levels and all positions in the field of student affairs, higher education broadly, but also for those who are in specific leadership education or leadership development roles, and takes place over a couple of days every 2 years in December. So in 2024, LEI will take place December 9th through 11th. Like a lot of different professional development experiences, there are various program sessions that folks can present and attend. There are roundtables, keynote speakers. And what I really enjoy about LEI in particular is a really, really great focus on community building, networking, mentoring, and real kind of personal connections across the field that you get from being a part of it. And that's a little bit about kind of how I got started. I had a mentor and previous supervisor in the field who was incredibly involved in LEI and said, "Hey, this is a program that you got to go to if you want to be in leadership education. It's going to be really rich and contribute a lot to your learning." So I went to my first one as a grad student, and then here I am many LEIs later.
I think the first LEI that I went to was, I don't know if it was on Zoom or another platform, but
Oh,
from the
yeah.
comfort of my office at you in 2020, which was a bizarre experience for lots of reasons we don't need to get into, but that was really helpful for me in a time, a lot of uncertainty in a lot of different ways. And particularly in my job, my first full-time role out of grad school, trying to figure out what I was doing, where I was going. And I had been in my role for about a year and a half by then. And so that was a good opportunity for me to see, like, oh, here are the ways that I can go from here, you know, sort of beyond the foundation that I had gotten in grad school, and you know, it's sort of more broader professional association involvement. And I still think back to like ways that I changed programs because of, you know, things that I learned there, but also just sort of the world that was opened up to me through that experience. And it's interesting to think back on, you know, how I've grown since then. And now I'm in kind of a similar place in this role of been here long enough to know how things work and probably going to start trying to break them apart soon. So it's good to have some tools accessible to help put them back together.
I love that.
Yeah, I think for me, LEI was the first time I felt at home with some of the work that I was doing. I was like the sole leadership educator on my college campus and was just like trying to figure out what I was going to do, right? And they were like, here, develop some leadership programs. And I was like, okay, I guess like I had some basis of like programs that I had participated in or had seen happen in grad school. But when I was first given the opportunity to be like, hey, make this your own, do this yourself, find different best practices of what you can do and like try to find something that will fit at our institution. And I think going to LEI opened up my eyes to say, like, I'm not the only one that gets asked to kind of create programs, right? Out of the blue. And like, they're like, here's a little bit of money and here's thing, but we want you to create a vision of what this looks like. And I think my first LEI was either in Arizona or in at Maryland. And one, I had only gone to like huge conferences before, so NASPA or ACPA, and LEI had that smaller sense of community, right? I got to see and meet folks that I had read articles and books on, right? Like Susan Comeves and All these other folks that I had kind of seen through the articles and different things and emerging leadership educators that were coming out with the field. And I just was like, okay, like, can I talk to these people? Can I engage with them? Right. And I did. And it was great. And I've built those connections with individuals like John Dugan and with MSL or Susan or any of these folks. And I think it was just like, I was this Lilly grad student or first year person who's trying to create these programs and talking to them being like, hey, like, I want to chat with you about this. And the openness and the willingness to be able to be vulnerable, to share those pieces, but also be able to find others who are doing this type of work, right? And I wanted to do it intentionally. And I think LEI was the first place where I felt like, okay, this is what other people get tasked to do. And let's talk about how we can make this the best practices that we need, and how can I make sure it's inclusive, and how can I make sure that I'm meeting the needs of the students that I have. And from there, it's the conference that I most enjoy, and being able to kind of provide those networks and provide that sustainability, especially when I was like thinking about whether I was going to leave the field or whether I was going to venture into different aspects of student affairs. LEI always felt like home to me in the sense that I felt like others who were doing that type of work. And hopefully I can bring back to those who've mentored me. And now I'm in the different place where I'm kind of helping others create those types of programs and be able to do that in different ways.
Yeah.
Bonnie, I want to say, I want to say ditto to all of that. And I think what has been so wonderful in my career about LEI is that it's like when I go to LEI, it's like every single session that I attend like is so directly related to what I do and gives me like ideas and depth and, you know, new ways of thinking and being like directly related to my work every day. I feel like, you know, I leave with like so many pages of like notes and like names and emails of people to follow up with. And then, you know, you actually like follow up, you know, with those folks and people to compare and talk about different programs or challenges that might be similar to you. And so it's just so, so rich. Like every time I go, I feel like my cup is full and overflowing, maybe even sometimes, but really energizing and inspiring for the kind of coming year ahead.
Yeah. I think a lot too about, as I'm listening to all of you speak, the role that LEI has played in so many people's leadership education careers of like providing almost this pivotal moment where they finally realize like, oh, this is a thing. Like people do this, they do this leadership education work like as a piece of their job. Some do it as the primary thing that they do in their jobs. And for, in terms of like, if we think about educator identity or professional identity, like I hear stories all the time from people that like the first time they actually started to claim that professional identity was because of their experience at LEI. I just think that's such a cool thing to think about, you know, especially in the world of like PD where you go to conferences and you certainly get something of value out of most of them, but you might be like attending kind of like one foot in, one foot out, right? With LEI, I feel like people who are there are like in it. Like you are there participating. You're, to Courtney's point, like there are nuggets you take away from every single piece of that experience because it is so like richly cultivated in this way to serve this section of our community that doesn't often get to all be together, you know?
Yeah. For folks on the academic side, it's typically around some people's finals week. And I always make a cognizant effort to have all my grading done before so I can actually be present at all the conferences. I remember my first ever LEI, I had a final paper due for my master's program and it ruined that. I like at night I had to like be typing away my paper and I couldn't be like hanging in energy with all folks too. Derek, I might ask you to echo in on this one too, but I think particularly for somebody coming out of a doc program and master's program, I, in 2018, was my first LEI in Orlando, which lucked out to be just a drive away from my previous institution. It was much more affordable and easy to get to, which is why we were able to go. But I remember that year we also had from our institution, like 8 or 9 master's students that came down. And I remember processing with them afterwards that was our first small conference. And when folks aren't familiar with that, like, you know, the ACPAs and ASPOs have 4,000 to 6,000 people, even sometimes regional conferences are in the summer and are hard for people to get to. But this one is really like several hundred people, you know, like it feels like you are going, if you talk to someone in the first session you go to, you will likely see them in the third session again and be able to continue to build the relationship rather than like, hey, I chat with someone in a hallway, I'll never see them again. So it really is this continual relationship building and community building. And yeah, being able to find people who have a similar job to you. So I think for grad students in particular, or newer professionals, or again, someone who just got
Into
leadership
leadership
education in their
education.
portfolio.
Yeah.
Yeah, that like just was told like, hey, you're running a leadership program now. The barrier to entry feels so low because people are just excited that you're there and you're again gonna see familiar faces. Even if you go by yourself, I've talked to many people who are the only person from their institution that comes. They don't know a single person before they get there. And you can watch the as the conference goes along, as they just become integrated into the community and feel like they're a part of there too. So Derek, I don't know if you've had similar experiences now being a doc student who's been to a couple LEIs too, but I know that that was something I always pick up on as we're at the conference too.
I 100% agree. I think one of the beauties of LEI is that we discuss a lot. It's big enough and it's also small enough at the same time. Where if you need to like find that different group of people or find that different perspective, you can gain it. But also once you get it, you don't necessarily always find a different kind of thing to find. You can always engage in a conversation with the same people with different people. So you have kind of that flexibility. And I always think as a doc student, well, doc candidate now, I always think LEI for giving me like a platform to just showcase the ideas I had in my head that I could turn into a proposal and that I fully fleshed out that turned into those journal articles that are turning into those future publications that turned into a book chapter that me and Brittany wrote as well at one point. So it's also like that I think for graduate students and doctoral students specifically, that's a great way to have that experience as well of trying to just put something together that you think maybe a conceptual framework or theoretical framework for something. And then you can turn that into either that kind of research basis or that research piece. Because that we're, I think Elliot does a great job at also focusing on showcasing research opportunities in these sessions, but also these best practices that we see at a lot of conferences, but specifically related to leadership education, which is something I always appreciate from the conference.
We're starting to get into this too a little bit around like how do you cultivate intentional space at a conference like this? And so that's maybe let's kind of steer into that. Maybe our next question for y'all is the thinking about as a planning team for LEI, what are you thinking about in terms of how you cultivate space for personal and professional development for this particular community of leadership educators? What are the things you all talk about? What are the choices you're making as you plan LEI, to help attend to that need?
I can start and share a little bit about our process. Early on, you know, we spent a good amount of time as a planning committee just thinking about, you know, what is relevant right now in the field? What are leadership educators challenged by? What are folks trying to do? What's emerging and new? What are we thinking about in our roles? What are we hearing from our colleagues at our institutions and other places as well? And how can we ensure that LEI becomes a space where those kinds of conversations can happen, that folks can have those kind of deep dives and they can iterate and inquire and investigate those things with other people in the field. And we use those to then craft and cultivate the various themes that we want folks to focus on for pre-institute sessions or for keynotes and for the program proposals that are then submitted. Also, thinking about how we ensure that we get a really diverse representation of presenters and topics and formats and you know, positions of folks that are presenting and that are included in the content that gets portrayed and that folks are engaging with during LEI.
I think one of the pieces that Courtney kind of touched upon that I'll elaborate on is like we have individuals who are coming who are new professionals who kind of come in and have just been asked to kind of create a leadership program, right? Like I mentioned, that's why I went. But we also have folks who have been in the fields for a while and are trying to refine their programs or try to figure out like where do we take their programs to the next level, or how do I balance, managing all of these different pieces that leadership may not be the only thing that's in my portfolio. So how do we kind of figure that out? So me identifying more as like a mid-level manager, I feel like I think one of the pieces that I'm always like cognizant of is like, how do we make this still relevant for folks who may not be in that beginning level, but also make it relevant for those who are more seasoned student affairs professionals who are like working with this work, but like are trying to refine or adapt or build connections or build relationships with other areas to like expand their programs. So I think that's one of the things that I'm always constantly looking for when we're trying to do that is, are we meeting those audiences in different ways? Because for the past 2 years, I've done the intro session that we do. That's like a pre-con. That's like the basics on basics of student leadership development. And that pre-con is always packed with people. We always sell out of it. I think it's partially because we do this like really quick. I mean, it's 4 hours, but we really do like the basics from every acronym to like every single thing that you would ever want to kind of know. But I think it's helpful for folks to kind of even learn the vernacular that sometimes we use or the acronyms that we use or who are those key leaders in the field that we should be looking at. So I think there's different places and different ways that we're engaging in that population.
I didn't go in 2022 in New Orleans, right? But somebody else in my office did. And so I have a team of four. I'm sort of the primary student programmer, and I'm the only one with a, quote unquote, traditional student affairs background. My supervisor has been in the field longer than I have, but very different sort of professional experiences before that. And so when I think about my experience at LEI and ACPA and other things, like I've like you know like you were saying, I got the acronyms and a lot of sort of the base. I was reading the research in grad school a lot more recently than some people, and certainly my colleagues who didn't go through a student affairs program. And I think I had sort of forgotten how valuable just that level of experience is. And one of my colleagues, who I think this is really her first sort of student affairs role, went and came back, and sort of the sentiment I remember her expressing was like, "Oh, I understand like what you do a whole lot more now." Not that she was like completely oblivious to what was happening before, but I think it seemed to give her sort of a foundation that maybe she none of us realized she was missing. And even though that wasn't an experience I had, but it sort of made me appreciate it a lot more of while I had felt like it was sort of propelling me to these other things and helping me dive in more and think more deeply, it was good to see, and I want to continue that it can also be an entry point or in sort of a way for folks to catch up if they feel like they're behind or coming in the middle.
Yeah, I appreciate that so much. I was just talking to our students at UVM in our leadership educator kind of grad course last night about this phenomenon of like, there's all this kind of student affairs, student development literature that we socialize people around in our kind of in our profession and in our grad programs. And then there's the leadership literature and leadership development literature that exists kind of across disciplines. What's lovely about LEI and our community of leadership educators is that it's this effort to kind of fuse the two, to help you understand the intersections of those two things so that you can be the most effective in leadership education specifically for in the higher ed college student environment. That to me is like, you're not, and as lovely as like big ACPA, big NASPA, the big conferences are, you are not going to get that at those in those spaces. LEI is like the place where we do that intersection. It's so valuable.
I was going to build off of that, Mel. I think one of the things, two thoughts. I think with our current season being leadership in context, what I love about LEI is if you go to a large conference, which have so much value and thinking about the intersections of our work, it often is I found myself going to sessions where it is focused 80% on the context they're talking about, and then they map on leadership as a second thought, right? Like, oh, I'm working with this student population or within this institutional type or with this focus, and then I put leadership onto it, right? Like I do some leadership work within whatever that is, where LEI is flipped, like, right? Like leadership is the center of it, leadership learning, leadership theory, leadership development. And then you get all of these beautiful contexts of which people do that, right? So maybe it's with a specific student population on campus or within a specific type of institution or a program or a class or an online environment, so everybody's too, but leadership stays at the focus of the session, the entire session, which is nice. You're not sitting at the end and being like, oh, there was the leadership mention. Like it's like a fleeting ship, right? Like there it was and there it goes, right? And I've been here for 50 minutes and it hasn't quite related. The other thing I wanted to mention, because I think we're doing such a good job of covering the co-curricular programmatic pieces of LEI, but for folks, this is not just a practitioners conference. I don't say just in a negative way, but we do have people like Dr. Comavez and Dr. Dugan and these quote unquote like scholars or folks that are writing some of the theory and literature around there. But what I have found when I talk to those folks, particularly the reason they love LEI is because they are or they're faculty and scholars that are committed to doing theory to practice the theory work. And this is the conference for them where they get to present some of their research or their writing or things to and actually hear from practitioners of like, yes, that relates to what I'm doing, or this could be helpful in my space, or how could I use this in practice? And that's this beautiful cycle that we see with the theory to practice the theory is you do get these faculty and scholars and doc students and folks that are doing research and grounded work coming together with practitioners to say, like, how do we all do this collectively together and do it better as a result of being community together too? So that's one of the things I love about the space of LEI is that all those voices come together. You'll see them at like at a table together in the middle of a conference. I remember at Orlando, I looked over, there was like a table in the middle of one of the areas, like the big open area. And there was like someone who had been in the field for 40 years next to a brand new master's student, next to someone who I knew had just gotten their job. Like it was like this group of people. I'm like, what a beautiful convening. So naturally, that maybe you don't see at other conference spaces too.
Very true.
Cool. Well, I think that connects again to our next piece. And I probably spoiled it a little bit, but LEI serves such a large variety of leadership educators. And we've mentioned a plethora of them at this point, right? With different roles and experience, connections to the work. So for you all, what are some contextual lenses that you've seen at previous sessions of LEI? I know we're call for programs is still open, which we'll talk about more later. So we don't know what's necessarily coming this LEI, but what have you all seen represented, or maybe what's been particularly helpful in your work that you've seen at previous LEIs that folks can kind of see the breadth of work that we do at this conference?
As I think about this question, I am thinking about both what is present for folks to engage in during LEI, but also the variety of folks who come to LEI and what they might be searching for or seeking. And if you come to LEI and you're like, okay, I'm really focused on leadership development within student organizations and activities, right? You could almost map out your, kind of personal plan for sessions to attend, like just focus on student orgs and activities, right? Like you could kind of attend sessions that are really highly relevant to that and get a deep dive. Or if you're someone who is like, okay, I'm maybe teaching courses in leadership, and if it's the first time or you're new at that, or maybe you've been doing it for a while, but you want to get some really great ideas and ways to kind of refresh your approaches and pedagogy and teaching materials, then like you could kind of find, sessions again, pretty much throughout the whole time, where you're just diving deep into the leadership pedagogy and teaching practices and innovative approaches to leadership in the classroom. Same thing, I think with a focus on anti-racism, social justice, culturally relevant leadership learning, right? If that's of interest to you, or you want to explore and deepen your knowledge in those areas, there always tends to be a really big focus in our program sessions and keynotes on that as well.
But it's one of my favorite things about LEI, actually, is just the you really can make it what you need it to be. Like everything in the world of leadership education is represented at that conference.
Yeah. Well, I think too, when you look at the official usually program guide at the end of it, having been to three of these, is like when you look at it, you can find anything from like a really large, right? Like anti-racism and leadership learning, very large umbrella around something. And then in the same session block, you can find like supporting student athletes at a Division I school doing a leadership development program, right? Like you can find something super niche, but it serves people across all of those, right? And I found myself at multiple LEIs going to a couple of the really broad sessions that could translate to any part of my work, and then challenging myself to go to something that maybe isn't something I do every day, but I work with student athletes in our courses, right? So if I could learn something from that session, that would certainly still serve the work that I do. So I think it's really fun to look through the list of programs because you're like, oh, this is like a specific program focus or a specific student population. Then you have everything up to even, and you also get like folks' dissertation work that you find in community too. Like Melissa, I remember going to your session on your dissertation work, and I was like, oh, this is so, like I heard her the last LEI talking about what she's going to do, and now I get to see it manifest in the space too, which is always cool.
Agreed. Other thoughts from folks on the different types of sessions that have been that you've seen, the variety?
I mean, one of the things that I know as a committee we've been really talking about is like, what are the relevant topics that are going to be coming up for this year, right? So I know one of the pieces that I've been talking a lot about is like student activism, because that's something we're, in freedom of speech on our campuses, and how do we support our student activists with that leadership development piece, or civic engagement, as I run our what I call our TCNJ Votes initiatives to get students involved within the voting process. So even thinking about that civic engagement panel, because post LEI will be right after we come out of that election season. So how do we support our students in different ways, and how do we educate them about the different aftermaths of whatever this election season will look like, right? And supporting all types of students as they're navigating what this election will look like for them, and how we may be, some people will be happy, some people won't be happy, and how do we help them kind of understand that in different contexts that they're working with, and continuing to still advocate for their issues and concerns and what they're doing. So I think those are pieces that like are prevalent to me, but also thinking about our ever-changing students, right? Our population of students post-COVID is definitely different. So how do we work with the new population of students that we're working with, and how do we make re leadership education relevant to them?
Yeah, it's something that we've definitely been talking about and is, I guess, continues to be on my mind is the impacts of elections and particularly like various legislation that's affecting higher education contexts, and not just the legislation, but sort of the culture that even just proposed legislation can bring about in communities, and how that is different across institution types. So, I mean, I'm at a state flagship institution, so you know the legislature can make some parameters for us, but how might those policies be affecting my colleagues and the students they serve at small liberal arts religiously affiliated institutions that are 45 minutes down the road, and administratively their policies are different, but they're still trying to figure out what that means for them and their program, and even how colleagues across an institution or other students and alumni understand those things, and how that shapes their work. Being in the South, people have a lot of things to say about the South, and thinking, how does this work? How do these things affect them too? And what's that going to look like in December is also kind of a hard thing to think about right now, but we're doing our best.
I mean, honestly, gosh, even more of a reason why it would be so valuable to connect with folks at something like this, right? At something like LEI, to be able to just compare notes and process through, what this is looking like for you at your institution in this particular geographic area in comparison to maybe what's happening in other places, and how do we help support one another amongst that that environment, my goodness, like that alone to me is worth being in a room with all of you to talk about, right? At LEI. Not to mention like also the amazing programming nuggets that I'm going to get from being in a session, right? Or the new ideas I'm going to get for the class I'm teaching, or to hear what, Derek's doing in his research. Like all of those things are there. And I think you're really getting at some of not necessarily programmed benefits of LEI, but certainly the way that space is cultivated at LEI promotes that kind of conversation, which is so important for us in our work, especially right now.
Melissa and Cokie, you have me thinking too. I think we've talked about all these connections you can make, but I know for some folks that's really intimidating, like to like think about coming to a conference and be like, oh, I'm gonna have to extrovert and like sell myself everywhere. But I think some of the most natural and beautiful ways I've seen this happen, and I think Derek can attest to this because I've seen it happen to him too at LEI, is I'll be in Cokie's session. She's talking about something specifically. I raise my hand and ask a question about like, how does this look like in, a small religious institution, and she might not be able to answer that, not working there, but somebody else in the room may also have that context or question, right? And then you connect after the session. So I would say one thing about LEI is, I know for folks that are introverted, it might be weird, feel weird to put yourself out there, but even just in the asking of questions or listening to other people's comments on a session, even if you don't think it's super related to your work, there is someone else in that room that has the same question or burning desire or complexity they're dealing with around whatever brought you to that session, that I think some of the most organic connecting I've seen has again been after a session, two of the participants coming together and be like, I also thought of that, or like, I'm also struggling with this. Like, can we connect offline? Or do you have an opening for lunch that we could sit down and hash that out too? So that's what's been really beautiful. It's not always like stopping somebody at the water cooler in the hallway, but it's those moments after a session or after a round table or a workshop, right? Where folks can come together and be like, yeah, I was also thinking that, but I didn't want to say anything, right? But now that you've said it, I really want to connect too. So I think that's really, again, a beauty of, again, the context that shows up in LEI that maybe you don't always get everywhere else.
The planning committee, the last few iterations of LEI too, has just done a really great job in thinking about the ways that folks come into the event. And a lot of times maybe you're going, you're like the only one from your institution, and you don't know anyone in the sea of 400 or 500 faces. And so doing things like a session beforehand via Zoom for first-time attendees, and making some connections that way, giving some ideas, tips, things to think about, how to best prepare and make the most of your LEI experience. Avani mentioned the pre-institute session that is like Leadership Education 101, like also a great place to make those connections. We also have been doing for a while in LEI these things called dinner and dialogues, which are really fun. It's kind of like a dinner with 10 strangers, and you sign up, and on one of the nights of the event, you go to dinner, at a kind of predetermined place with around 10 other folks, and there's a facilitator, and you get to have some really great conversation and connections. Grad student meetups, throughout the event as well. And so really just thinking about, whatever context you're coming into the event with, we try and really think about how can we make those connections happen for you, as well.
Absolutely. I also really love of all of those things I love, and I really love that I feel like LEI is the one place that like if you're using some sort of a resource or text or reading an article or using a particular model or a theory related to your leadership programs or courses, chances are the person who wrote that is probably at LEI.
And
Which is
you get to
amazing,
ask
right?
them.
Yeah, they're there. Yeah, they're absolutely there, and they're probably presenting. And if they're not presenting, they're keynoting. And if they're not doing either of those things, they still come to LEI just to hang around because they love it. And that's like their people, right? So I think that's the other piece that's so cool about this is that whether this is your first time being a part of the leadership educator community or you are literally writing the textbooks about our work, like, and everything in between, like, it's just such a collegial environment and such a collaborative one that I think just the generativity, I think, of that space is just so lovely. And the planning team certainly does a lot to create formal spaces for that, and it happens organically too. So even just being there is truly, truly valuable because it's the kind of place where people are going to kind of pull you in and ask you some questions and want to learn more about you.
Which was something that was really intimidating to me, the first time
Right?
that I went. And
Yeah.
it again, December 2020, lots of weird vibes. But I think that year, I think it was Kathy Guthrie, and I'm sure there were others, was like, oh, I spent my whole summer like reading the research that I heard you present about, and like I have this
Yeah.
children's book on my shelf that I'm trying to figure out a way to read my students'
Yeah.
program, and like, oh, here you are, like reading the comment that I put in the Zoom chat or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is, but is also, yeah, really lovely, and I think encouraging if certainly for me then as a new professional, and I would think particularly for grad students and other folks, if you're sort of unsure of your place in this work, and you know, maybe feeling some kind of imposter syndrome, like it really was a, even through my Zoom screen, a warm and welcoming community.
That's awesome. I love hearing
Okay, I
that.
think on that point too, I think this is a good reminder of, I think Courtney was back to your original point of like this truly is a conference that student affairs folks and leadership educators combine together, right? And I think so many of our student affairs programs focus on, right, like being able to be critical of our work, like critical consumers, asking the hard questions, challenging what is there. And I think what's brilliant about LEI is you actually see that in practice, right? Like I remember my first LEI, I went to a lit presentation. I think Mel, you were on it with Susan and Julian, Erica, Cohen Durr, and you guys were talking about lit. And I remember somebody asking Susan like a critical question about lit, and I was like aghast in the back. I was like, how dare they ask a question? And she was so receptive, and she was like, "You're right. Like this is a limitation of the model, and like this is something that folks like Melissa and Erica, who are like keeping it going, are thinking about, and they're researching." And she was so receptive, and it, like thankful for like this good challenge and this good critical dialogue. So I think for folks that may be intimidated, Cokie, like I was and you were, watch that happen. Maybe the first session or two you go to, maybe you don't have to be the one that poses the critical thought or goes up afterwards, but you will watch that naturally unfold, and see that that is certainly just the culture of the conference, that the scholars that do want to come to the more practitioner focused conference are coming because they want that engagement and dialogue and pushback. And again, seeing that, Ivana could say, like, yeah, in my leadership programs, maybe this model doesn't work, but here I've re-envisioned it in this way to work for my students. They want to hear that feedback too. So if it is intimidating, heard, understood, honoring that, and maybe just watch it unfold once or twice, and you'll be like, oh, they meant that. They really meant it, that it happens.
Yep, 100%. 100%. Well, y'all, I mean, I feel like we've sold it to people,
I'm go I'm
I
sold.
mean, I'm
I'm going.
going.
Well, I'll be there too, which is just fabulous.
I know we all will be there, which means that we want all of you listeners to be there too. Maybe I'll ask our team here, our guests here. You've shared so many things that you love about LEI and why people should come. Is there any kind of last thing that you want to make sure people know to entice them to come to LEI in Philadelphia this year? Or to submit a program? Maybe that's the enticement, to
Both
submit a
and.
program proposal.
I think something that we tell the students who go through our program, in their first year, we have a curriculum that we have set out with a lot of required events, and you know, we tell them this is all we're requiring you to do, but you know, the more time you spend sort of hanging out in our office and building relationships and investing in this community, the more you're going to get out of this experience. Like, you have to, a lot of that is just like showing up and hanging out. And sometimes it's sharing what you know, and sometimes it's just listening to other people. And I think that's what this experience, as I feel like we've talked about a lot of this is just a great time to invest in, you know, this professional and personal community in a way that is so much more concentrated than some other experiences.
I love that.
In terms of Submitting a program proposal, that is absolutely something that I would love to plug and just have folks think about. Our call for programs is open now, and you can start working on those. The deadline is May 27th, so you got some time to think about ideas, to maybe have some conversations with colleagues you might want to consider co-presenting with. But we really want folks from all different professional levels. You don't have to be an expert in something to present on it. Like, you can just have an idea or something that's worked for you, something you want to explore more and present on that. And we would certainly welcome everyone to think about how can you contribute knowledge or even just create an environment for learning by submitting a program proposal. We need folks to absolutely contribute. Like, that's what makes LEI what it is the involvement, engagement, and contributions of everyone who attends.
Yeah, and I would echo Courtney, like trying to find folks who are doing interesting things or what might be interesting to others. I mean, some of you all are doing great work, and you may not think it's like the like program proposal worthy, but it is, you know, like you may be doing something really unique that you don't realize that might be relevant to other educators across the country and being able to think about that in a different way. And I think that's really important is to don't undersell yourself in the process and sharing those experiences with others. I would also say encourage you to like find other presenters across the area, right? Maybe you ask like Brittany or Melissa to co-present with you on topics that might be interesting to you. Because I would say like one of my like FOMO moments, I would say, or like moments that I felt like I had imposter syndrome was when I asked John Dugan if he wanted to present about MSL. And I was like, he's gonna say no. He's totally gonna like say no to me. And he was like, no, I think it's great because you're talking about like how you're actualizing the work that we're doing, right? I'm just talking about this stuff in general, but you're actually like implementing it and using the assessment and using different pieces. And I was like, really? You want to present with me? We had a packed room. And maybe it was because John was the one who's presenting, but you know, I think it is. But I mean, I think those were some of those experiences that helped me to grow as a professional and really be able to share the work that I was doing. And so don't be afraid to like reach out to folks to find connections, to talk about commonalities that you see. And that might be just someone that you've been emailing with. It doesn't matter. Like just maybe you want to find a partner who is doing some similar work to you are, or is co-advising student government like I do and is talking about leadership within those areas. Maybe it's reaching out to those folks to have those conversations. And you put a panel together. Like that's okay. It doesn't, you don't have to be always be the expert in that area, but talking about those areas and issues and concerns that you're dealing with, you may not be the only one who's working with that. So even talking with others and thinking about those ideas, I think can be really helpful to try to find a network of individuals who are doing similar work.
Absolutely. Submit the program, y'all. Submit the program.
I think I would add on, we've mentioned this in multiple ways, but we know this for folks that are in faculty lines or in practitioners or grad students. You are often one of one, maybe one of two. If you're lucky, maybe one of three or four that are doing leadership education work on your campus. And we know it can feel isolating and lonely. And like sometimes you're on your own little island, right? And I think the one thing about LEI is I feel like every year everyone's like, why don't you do this every year? Because it feels like this like warm, affirming hug, right? Of like, we all care too, right? Like this is like what we care about and want to do. And you just get to feel like your cup is really full of like, oh, like I care so much and other people do too. And now I've at least got people that if I get frustrated on my campus of no one seems to listen or know the value or care about my program as much as I do, you've got someone else, even if they're not at quote unquote home for you, right? That can do that work. I also think again, the barrier to entry to presenting is so much lower than other places. And not that it's not a competitive conference, because it is. I think we get some really, really fabulous proposals that come in, but it is not uncommon to see a master's student presenting on their own at this conference, right? We're seeing a collective of grad students or even seeing an undergrad as a presenter, right? With a team of folks too and coming to this space. And I think I'll have Derek echo in on this too before we kind of wrap up because as a grad student perspective, he's been as a master's student and doc now. But I think what's really, really wonderful is if you can't, I tell people this all the time. I have so many master students or new professionals that come to me and they're like, I don't have anything to present. And I always challenge them on like, okay, let's talk through what you do every day, and I can help you reframe it as an outside perspective, right? So if you think that, if you're like listening to this and like, yeah, but I have nothing to present on, find a critical friend. It can be Melissa and I'm going to offer us, right? If you want to send us an email, that if we can just have conversation, there is something that you have that you can contribute in some different capacity, because we have multiple different types of programs, which we'll make sure to mention before we log off, so you all know what's there too. But even a 20-minute session, right, of like, here's a program I do and some best practices I've picked up along the way, that you certainly can contribute to.
And I echo like connections, right? So even if you and Melissa don't have those, like you
Yeah.
might be able to direct them to someone else who's doing the same
Totally.
research, right? And I think that's
Totally.
where some of that connection piece and networking piece comes into play, because I think those are pieces. And if you're open to having those conversations, we can connect you with other areas that you might be interested in.
I would offer too that there are not many places for leadership educators to share their knowledge, their ideas, and their experiences. There just aren't, because it's this kind of niche piece of work that is so needed in our field that there's just not really space for in bigger conferences or in other kind of specialized places. Even in like your particular functional area, there's not often conversations explicitly about leadership education and development, right? So to Brittany's point, this is not just the place where folks that are new to the field get the chance to present, because it absolutely is. But I'll speak for myself, for someone who is so dedicated to the world of leadership, learning, and development, there aren't many conferences that are willing to take presentations about this topic just because they're so big and broad. And so the depth with which people talk about leadership education at this conference is so invigorating. It's also challenging. So for those of you that feel like you're not getting what you need in other places, I promise you, people are going to be presenting ideas at LEI that are going to blow your mind, or they're going to make you think differently, or they're going to make you come up with all these ideas that you would never have had if you didn't sit in just that one presentation. It really is a very, very rich experience.
I've told Melissa this story before, but my first ever LEI 2018 in Orlando, I went to a session and I had read some MSL stuff, right? Multi-institutional study for leadership, for folks who don't know. And I'd read some in grad school and I was excited. And I saw that the Big Ten was doing a presentation where they were sharing some of their data. And they had a handout. It was like a 1.5 page, 2 page handout. And they handed it out. And I was so mind blown by the stuff that they were finding and the things that they were sharing. I kept that handout for like 4 years. Like I would like pull it out all the time and like reference it for people. Several dissertations of people that I knew and was working on, I would send them the links to the reports to cite. So like I was just so taken back by the work that they were doing and the stuff they were finding and the things that people hadn't question there. Like there was a finding on that holding a leadership position in a student organization was not necessarily indicative of a positive leadership learning experience, right? And but it's just was like things that we like sometimes know and don't have affirmed by data. And I literally remember I had like it was so crinkly and disgusting from like moves and other things too, but I would like pull it out and then I found they were online. So I've gotten rid of said copy since then. They're online through Illinois' website if anyone needs them. But I remember literally pulling it out to other doc students and masters, and I'm like, look at this. So I think what people are doing, and you just wouldn't have known had I not been there, right? Like I don't just peruse Illinois' website for data pieces, right? But like it was this really cool moment, and I cited it in my dissertation too. So it's incredible.
Presenter in that session, but I think it was
I was
before we
like
knew each
such
other.
a
That's
fan. Yes, I was like such a
funny.
fangirl, and Amy Barnes is there, and I was like in the back of like
That's funny.
clapping. I was like so jazzed.
Oh, I love that. Well, here's hoping that we all find that handout or that piece of
Yes.
information at LEI that we hold on to for multiple years and connect all kinds of stories back to, because we all have a story like that from LEI for sure. And
Yeah.
we hope that that is true for all of you listening as well. We hope you'll join us
Yeah.
at
For a
LEI in
pop culture
November.
reference, we hope you fangirl at LEI because I
That's
fangirl every year and
right.
it's just the
That's
best.
right. That's right.
Yeah.
And we will all be there. And if for no other reason, if you go for no other reason, just come to see us and hang out. All of us would love to
Let's
see
get coffee.
you. I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please, please.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you all for joining us. And I think for Melissa and I both, we just thank you for the work you do to keep this
Yes.
conference going, because
Thank you.
we mentioned we're all involved in some capacity, but the three of you are really steering a lot of ships that make this experience exists for people across all spectrums. So thank you all for the work you do on that and sharing your expertise today with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. It's always so fun to talk about LEI.
Yes.
This was great. Thanks, y'all.
Of course.
Don't know about you, Mel, but I'm feeling so energized and ready to book my ticket to Philly.
I want to be at LEI right now, basically.
Is
So I'm
it
feeling.
too late to plan a summer version as well?
I really am honestly just reflecting so much on the what that in what LEI in particular has meant to even my own professional career and my personal development. I mean, goodness, like I've been attending LEI since I was in my master's program, which is like eons ago. And then to now be for us all now to be a part of like the planning process and to be kind of spearheading and making sure that this program continues to happen, just it has been a constant in my leadership educator career. It really does hold this like really special place in my heart, you know?
I think I'm the same way because I went to my first one as a second year master's student who was contemplating PhD, figuring out what was next for me. And I do remember going there, and I had been to multiple conferences before then, but feeling this like immense validation in my work. And I think as a young professional who was again in a master's program, feeling like I had a place in it, like there was like a spot for me. And it wasn't that I was, you know, keynoting by any means or on the conference planning committee at that point or anything either. But I remember being like, oh, I like people notice I was here and my being here had an impact on both myself and then the folks around. Like I felt like I was
Totally.
really a part of the experience. I wasn't just a number who went to a conference and could report back to my institution, like attended, right? Checked the box, but really did have a transformative experience where I was like, oh, this is my like space. And I think when we read community of practice literature, right, that was the first time I had seen that come to fruition of like, oh, this is a community of practice of people who care about each other and the work so much that they will continue to show up every 2 years in December and either cutting into their finals grading time or their holiday celebrations. Like they're willing to take the 3 days at the end of a busy semester to still come because it's that impactful.
Oh gosh, that's so true. And I will say, I do think it's the one professional development experience in my career that even as my roles have changed, as my career has progressed, as I've moved from being a person doing like student activities work to someone doing then like co-curricular leadership programs and civic engagement to now teaching, you know, teaching in a leadership studies program and then being a higher ed faculty member, like in all phases of that, this conference has been relevant for me. Like LEI, and I cannot say that about 98% of the professional development experiences that I attend, right? Like it really is one of those institute, it's one of those experiences that kind of grows with you, which I think is so cool and just is unique, I think, in our field.
Well, I was gonna say too, I was talking to someone the other day who has since transitioned out of her formal leadership educator role, right? She's not necessarily doing leadership programs every day anymore and things too. And it's a completely different functional area. But I was talking to her about LEI the other day. She was like, I'm still trying to find a way to come, right? Like, I know it's not directly relevant to my work anymore. I can't necessarily make the justification that it's the most relevant of conferences, but still trying to find a way to be there because it is so affirming. And I think for folks who end up leaving leadership education for whatever reason, they usually still care about it enough. And this space can be that for them if they're not doing it every day in their work, right? Like for folks that are, more in the faculty higher ed realm or in assessment research evaluation or whatever it may be, they still find this to be a really affirming and upholding space too.
And I will say the same is true for our colleagues who maybe have moved beyond kind of the, I shouldn't say beyond, have moved out of like direct kind of student affairs work, who are either faculty members in other disciplines, not even in education, schools of education, or have moved into nonprofit or even corporate work, who even though they no longer attend any of the higher ed student affairs PD experiences, still come to LEI because it's that concentration of focus and its relevance across like areas of work and you know fields and disciplines is like it is all of it is there at LEI. So those folks are still coming back to LEI, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, I know we mentioned this earlier too, but I also think it's beautiful in now being on the planning committee, but even when you're at the conference to see that there's these kind of three major associations, clearing houses, spaces that come together because they all believe in this conference, right? You don't see ACPA and ASPA partner on much of anything. And with NCLP, like to see the three of them come together year after year after year and still can say, like, this conference is so important. We need to do this together. I think it's really, and that's evident when you're there. It's not just in a formality of like, oh, we like support the registration process or throw some money at it. Like, it really does feel like a conjoining when you come to LEI.
And it really is, and you're right, it is the if it's not the only, it's one of the only initiatives that the our two major higher ed associations still collaborate on. And when and collaborate to your point on like they devote not only volunteer time, but they devote staff time to it. There are staff representatives from all three entities on that planning team, which is huge.
Huge. Yeah, and like on bi-monthly calls, right? Like they're not again, like not just like a one-time sign some forms and ship it off.
I know. Y'all, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and we hope you're there. Please don't miss it.
Grab your parkas, get ready for Philly. We're gonna
Philly's
be.
great. Philly's a great conference city too. It's a
It
great city. It's
totally
also a
is.
great
It's a great
conference city.
layout. It's a great layout for a conference. I feel like it's really accessible. And yeah, I also feel like it's pretty easy to get to as far as a major city, right? That we're hoping folks don't have any trouble finding their way to Philly, and we'll be so
Major
excited to see it. Come
airline
give
hub
us,
on an
yeah.
Amtrak line, major airline hub. Y'all, you can get there. It'll
Train,
happen.
plane,
Automobile.
automobile.
That's right.
There's a lot of ways to get there, and we're excited to see you all there. Also, a final plug. I know we mentioned this other two, but like if you're thinking about coming, also think about any of your master's students would love to come, your undergrad students, your doc students, right? The new professional that you're hiring, planning ahead for. Like, this is such a good developmental conference for folks who are new to the field or maybe just starting to catch on to the goodness that is leadership education. It is such a good entry-level conference in the ways that they need it, that think about those folks too and encouraging them to come hang with us.
Or
Program
like,
proposal or not, right?
right, or like the person in your office who's been working in the in student affairs or higher ed for a long time, but all of a sudden finds themselves needing to do leadership programs or working with a population you might refer to as student leaders. Those folks
Yeah.
also need to be at LEI. So
Yeah.
make sure they're there, friends. Let's do the work.
We can't wait to see ya. Melissa and I might just have an informal LEI like next week, you know?
I
It's
know.
just kind of convening.
I know it.
But we're so excited. Thank you all for listening to some of our favorite people that we get to work with and some of our favorite space that we get to contribute to too. So we'll see you in a couple weeks.
We'll see you. Registration is open now for the 2024 Leadership Educators Institute, happening December 9th through 11th in Philadelphia. Program proposals are due by May 27th, 2024. Find out more at nclp.umd.edu/programs.